Kobe Bryant, off balance, yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world. The Philadelphia Eagles are...
And welcome back to... Who does a podcast? Wrong show. Cheers from the press box. Sorry, brain scrambled. I'm your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host as always.
What is up, everybody? Brennan Tassif here, coming to you live, quietly from New York City.
Live and late night because he's in the city that never sleeps. Well, we're going to try to make this one as not long as possible. Because we went pretty long last week. We've been running long the last couple weeks.
Been close to an hour 30 the last two episodes.
Let's try to keep this one a little tighter so the boys can get to bed. You know, as always, we got the big hits. We got the kickoffs with the big topics. NFL, NCAA, football. And got to make some predictions for the NBA season that is upon us today when you're hearing this. Then we got the WNBA finals, the end of the season that happened. And we had some breaking news today as well. Got the MLB playoffs. Got a showdown coming up. We're going to make a prediction on that. And then we're going to wrap it up with the Foam Corner as we always do. No more walk-offs pretty much because your boys are busy. And we go long, right? We go bleeping long. So without any further ado...
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Brennan, I know it's pretty late, but do you have the time?
Yeah, actually, I have the time right here. I think it's time for
Game of the Week. Game of the Week. Well, featured in back-to-back Games of the Weeks, the Detroit... Well, they weren't really the Game of the Week last week. It was more of me just dancing on the grave of the Dallas Cowboys. But the Detroit Lions have... dethroned one of the last unbeaten teams. The Minnesota Vikings were 1-5-0 at the time. Now they're 5-1. Detroit won 31-29. This was the first game without Hutchinson. Brennan, what did you see from the Detroit Lions in this game to make you that makes you think maybe they're going to be okay?
So a couple of things. One, I thought this game would have not been as close had Aiden Hutchinson been on the field. He is the kind of player where one or two big plays can change the outcome of a game. I say it all the time. It comes down to three plays. So I think losing him, they felt that. But also, this showed me a lot of resiliency. This is the kind of team that there's a lot of cool stories. Like the kicker was talking about how he was selling bricks like 2 weeks ago, and then he got a call to come
cocaine?
Back to try out. No. Like actual bricks, like decorative bricks. And then, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, whose dad played in the league, who's, like, a world-class bodybuilder. He's, like, a tough-nosed guy. It all starts with Dan Campbell.
His brother was a bit annoying, by the way.
Is he? Is that on Twitter?
They have a podcast together. His brother says a lot of things that really rub me the wrong way. Mainly, it was when Devontae Smith got hit from behind, and Amon-Ra was like, that's not a, like, cool hit. And then his brother's like, no, you got to play to the whistle.
Oh,
it's
I
like,
hate that.
Okay, but if that was a saint, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
But so. I like this team. David Montgomery obviously went out with an injury, but he's one of those guys where he's like a cool story, you know. Anybody who's like cast aside and then taken in.
And he annoyingly came back to the game, therefore he wasn't DMP'd on prize picks.
I know. But, I like the Lions, and I said this a couple weeks ago. I think they're going to be just fine. It was an odd game because the Vikings looked in total control after the first quarter, and then they didn't. And then they did again, and then they didn't. So I think both teams are going to be okay, but I like this Lions team. It's cool to see them scoring the way they score, and I'm happy for Detroit as a fan base just because this team has had so many struggles within the last since the fucking merger. And then, you know, they finally have a team that like year in and year out, at least for the last two or three years, people are like, oh, the Lions are for real. So I'm happy they get a win. Also, kind of happy Minnesota got knocked off because this was starting to turn into that.
Oh, your boy, Sam Darnold, though. What's happening?
I know, but I mean, Sam Darnold did fine. 22 of 27 for 259, a touchdown and a pick. Like, he's okay. But it was starting to turn into one of those, like, weird Viking seasons, which we saw a couple years ago. Remember when they won, like, nine games?
All those one-score games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people are like, well, they're not for real. The thing I like about this is they went against a great team. They proved that they were for real because they looked in control for a lot of the game, but then they just lost the game. So I'd rather see that than fluky ass wins where all of a sudden they're 8-0 and people are like, is this team for, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think we saw a lot from both teams, and I think both teams are going to be just fine. The problem is they play in the same division.
That is a huge problem.
So that's the problem, because one of these teams might get squeaked out, and that's not going to be cool, because they're going to beat up on each other. This is the old AFC North thing, when the AFC North was good and everyone's like, oh, they just beat the shit out of each other. And then when it comes time for the playoffs, they're like run down.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the only difference here, though, is now with that extra playoff spot, like, that team may also be able to backdoor their way into the playoffs. Right.
And we were talking about it last week, you know.
Yeah.
There's a chance all four of these teams might make the playoffs.
I still don't think there's a numerical chance. Like, I feel like that's impossible.
No, it's not.
It's not impossible.
The Gatorade commercials,
but it's not very
impossible.
Probable.
No, because
the thing
all,
would have to be you have the division winner, and then all three wild card teams are the other three teams.
Yeah, but if they all finish around,
are there four divisions or three divisions?
There's four.
Okay, yeah. So all three wild cards would have to. Be.
Yeah, that's the only way it's possible. But they would have to all finish around 11 or 12 wins to make that a reality.
Exactly. But
what did
you think
about Detroit?
I thought Detroit was really good. They came out a little slow. They got punched in the mouth, for lack of a better term, when Aaron Jones broke off that big run.
Yeah,
and
that was
they
huge.
Looked to, and then David Montgomery got hurt and just looked like, oh boy, are the wheels about to fall off? But then it was like, oh yeah, they did draft the running back in the first round a couple of days ago. And we failed to mention him when we were talking about Alabama running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs. I often forget he's an Alabama running back, but
me too.
He ended up having a really good game in spell of David Montgomery when he was out. And Jared Goff, I think not enough has been said. And I alluded to it last week, saying that Goff should be talked about in consideration for MVP.
He's had a game
where he was perfect. He was 22 of 25 in this one for 280 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not checkdowns. That's not checkdowns.
No, and that's leading, helping a team come back as well. I think he had a – did he have the fumble? He had the fumble, I want to say, that ended up getting scored. But no, he didn't lose the fumble. David Montgomery lost the fumble.
Yeah, David Montgomery on that injury was
by Minnesota. But yeah, so I think they came out, they played really well. They ended up getting four sacks on Sam Darnold as well. So, you know, not the same output as when Hutch was there, but they're not getting pressure. Cause that was the fear.
Yeah,
it was like,
fear.
You know, with that guy being gone, it'd be easier for teams to just match up on everybody. But
people were also throwing out, like, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, like these high profile pass rushers on losing teams. And
maybe
I'd
make
like,
a trade or something.
Yeah, and I'd like. I mean, they haven't yet, but I like the fact that Dan Campbell's like, no, we'll stick with our guys. We're fine. And
they actually, like, right after, I want to say, gave somebody an extension on the defensive line.
And I also wanted to say, I forgot to mention Jahmyr Gibbs, but they got a lot of flack for taking the quote unquote second best running back in the first round in that class. Yeah. They got a lot of flack for that. And he came out and showed why they took him. He's not just a fucking fun utility player. I don't know why I cursed there. Like, I was so passionate about it. But
you've been getting them off.
He's just not some utility player like that. You know, he's not a Percy Harvin where you're like, oh, we're just happy to have this gadget guy. Like, he's a legit NFL running back. And he proved that.
Yeah. 15 carries, $116.
He almost averaged 10 yards a carry, dude.
Yeah, it was crazy. Unfortunate news that came out today during the middle of Monday Night Football. One of my buddies texted me that a suspension has been levied on, can you guess which Detroit Lion, Brennan?
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams pops for PEDs. So I don't know. I haven't done any more research on that to see how extensive the suspension is. Oh, two-game suspension. So not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, obviously. First time offense for this particular.
But yeah, he was having such a great start to his season.
Well, and we said this at the beginning of the year. This was his season. This is the show me season. This was the, okay, you came back from injuries. You got suspended for gambling. You kind of been more trouble than you're worth. And in the first six games, dude, or excuse me, the first five games, we were like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Like, he has arrived.
He's here. Yep. Yep. And then for this to come out, I was honestly, I heard the news on my way home and I was kind of like, what the fuck, man?
Not even PEDs, PES, they've labeled it performance enhancing substances. So maybe that's why it was a lesser penalty, because it wasn't drugs as usually noted. They obviously made a clear distinction between drugs and substances. It's the first time I'm seeing them ever put PES and substance there. So
this just might be a DWI, DUI situation.
True. But obviously they are saying it's less than, because a usual PED substance is 4 to 6.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So this only being 2, it shows that, you know, there's obviously they have some wiggle room there. And whatever,
maybe you got the wrong kind of protein or something.
Something more innocuous than deliberate. But still,
you think Minnesota's going to be okay?
I think Minnesota's going to be all right. I think they have, you know, some really, really good players on that team. Between Justin Jefferson, I think Aaron Jones is really good. Sam Darnold looks to be competent enough. I'm still not going to say he's like fulfilled his promise, because I've never had any promise for him. But the defense is, look, I'm in love with the defensive coordinator. I've been openly flirting with him all season long.
I'll take Ben Johnson. You can get Brian Flores.
I'm good with all that. So. But all right.
I think as long as they got 14 and 18, they're going to be all right.
On exactly. No, what? No. 18 and 33. On to the next game. Which was also a doozy. Brennan, I got one question to ask you. Do you go for the throat or do you go for the easy route?
No, you always go for the throat. The offensive coordinator is playing scared.
So this really irked me. I was rooting for Houston to win this game. Sorry, Greg and Kendra, if you're listening.
I almost said, of course, you were a black quarterback, but they both do.
They both have black quarterback. I was rooting for Texans to win this game, but they got into the red zone, and then with Bobby a lot Sloan. Of time left, they just kept running the ball. And I was like, hey, you know, you could get 6 here and really put this out of, you know, reach and force Green Bay to have to go the length of the field and get a touchdown. But they settled for a field goal. And then Green Bay was able to turn it around, go and get a field goal of their own, because they were only down by 1 point. So, Brett, not a great game by C.J. Stroud.
Not at all.
In the least.
I think this knocks him out of the MVP contention.
But Joe Mixon had a really good game. I can understand why they were, you know, going to the ground game. But in that spot, you have that quarterback. I feel like you got to put the ball in his hands and have him get you something.
Yeah, he was 10 for 21 for only 86 yards. This was not a good look. But again, this doesn't come down, I don't think, to C.J. Stroud. This comes down to coaching. Bobby Slowick, who everyone wanted to give a fucking head. Oh God, I did it again. Who everyone wanted to give a head coaching job.
More vulgar at the later in the night.
I know. It's the late nights coming off of work where I'm like, ah. But everyone wanted
being
to
be in New York. Bobby I remember why guy. I was rooting for the Texans. That one, I needed a Stephon Diggs touchdown to cover a parlay. But also, I wanted punishment for Green Bay wearing white helmets. I was so perturbed.
It.
Yeah. See, the problem is,
I think all white is clean.
Yeah. So the problem
we
is
have to talk about all white.
Don't do. The problem is. Like, I'm not going to disagree. All white is clean. But this goes back to the rant I was just having right before we started the show. Someone has to step in and talk about tradition. Like, yeah. I should not. When it's all white Green Bay helmet, I turn on the TV. I'm like, I don't know who's playing. Like, there's a discombobulation for a split second to be like, who the fuck am I looking? What is that? What? Who is. Like, they just look like absent of themselves. It doesn't look like the team I grew up watching. The
and
reason
this was a team for the longest time when they would do alternates.
Would never do anything.
Like, yeah, it was just like, oh, it's just a different take on the same thing. Yeah.
And I don't have a problem. You can go white top, white bottom. Give me the fucking yellow head. You got to have the yellow head.
It's a cheese. What do we do?
Enough. Okay. Sorry.
I would ask if you're worried about Houston, but because they play in one of the worst divisions in the NFL, I'm not really worried about it.
Not worried at all.
Especially with Anthony Richardson.
Tonight. I was just about to say, Anthony Richardson, not that good, guys.
Do you think...
What a project.
Do you think so there's the saying, and I've been hearing it a lot on the Fantasy Football Ringer show that I listen to, but for every one bad comedian that makes it, or excuse me, for every one good comedian that makes it, there's 10,000 bad ones, because everyone's like, oh, I could do that. And a lot of people are saying now that the Josh Allen experiment is going to be that for football. For every one Josh Allen, there's going to be 10,000 of these. Like, oh, they're big, they're physical, they can run. We'll teach them how to throw.
But the same thing can be said for the thing is, it's always a copycat league. And you can say the same thing about Drew Brees. Like, oh, Sean Payton was able to get this short quarterback, turn him around. Oh, we could do this all the time. But you get him, you get Russell Wilson in the beginning, and then you get Baker, It takes a while to figure out. Kyler takes a second to figure out. Like, it's not going to be, and it wasn't with Drew Brees either. It wasn't an automatically play and we're getting Super Bowls.
He was on his second team.
Exactly. He should have been a Dolphin if not for the doctors not clearing him for the Dolphins to pick up. So he went to the Saints. That was his second option, was the Saints. Oh,
speaking of the Dolphins, just real quick aside, my brother-in-law, his brother has worked for the Dolphins for 30 years and is like one of the co-heads of player personnel.
Wait,
I
your
just found this out this weekend.
Brother?
My brother-in-law, Ryan, his brother Anthony Hunt, is the co-director of player personnel for
okay,
the Dolphins.
See, the reason I'm confused is, wouldn't that also be your brother-in-law?
I mean, I guess technically it's my sister's brother-in-law.
Okay. I don't know why in my
mind. This is a real Mike Carano.
I made it. No, you're right. You're right. I made it Tracy's brother. And then you were saying one of her other brothers. And that still be?
No. My twin sister's husband's brother. But I was like, I host a sports podcast. Like, how am I just learning about this? And Ryan was like, well, you never asked. And I was like, what? Yeah, of course.
I feel like that's information you just don't.
Hey, has your brother worked for the Dolphins for 30 years?
He started when he
was like 18 as a grad assistant. Now he's the director of player personnel.
Player personnel? Wow. Well, now I gotta look up and see who the heck the director of player personnel.
Anthony Hunt. It's nuts. But I think he's like the co-director or assistant director because he doesn't have his picture on the website. I looked it all up. But anyway, that's just a little aside for the fans. I think Houston is going to be, they're going to make the playoffs because they're going to win the division. But this showed me more about Green Bay because when Love went down with that injury and they had to bring in, who was it, Malik Willis? And we were all like, why didn't they go out and get like a Tannehill or something? Like, what's going on? And they just held fast and they were like, no, we're going to be okay. And they are. And it's astounding to see. And Jordan Love looks great.
Jordan Love looks really good.
I mean, he had two picks in this game, but one of them wasn't even his fault.
He does look really good, but he also has a lot of interceptions. So that is a good point. Thank you for reminding me of that. I got an Anthony Hunt, and I just started autopiloting.
I did the same thing when I learned the news.
Jordan Love, he does need to limit the turnovers. They have been plaguing him this season. One of the best things about him last season was his limited number of turnovers. I want to say he ended up with 10 for the season last year, if I'm not mistaken. He had 11 for the season last year. He's already at 8.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, he's played less games because he was hurt. So.
Yeah, it is a lot.
It's not great. The game against Minnesota, they win if he doesn't throw, like, what, 4 interceptions in that game?
Guess who has the same number of interceptions?
He threw 3 in that game. Trevor Lawrence?
No. Jordan Love on the season has just as many interceptions as Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh.
And he has doubled them up in touchdowns.
Yeah, Pats, I don't know how they're fucking winning still. We'll get to that shortly.
Most underrated defense in the entire
I know how they're winning. He's knocking safeties out. Did you see that truck stick?
It's not on the rundown. Oh, it is on the rundown. We'll talk about it.
We'll get to it. I think Houston, obviously, like you just said, they're going to win the division because not really playing with the heavy hitters there. Green Bay, their defense really has shown a lot. And that was one of the things we were looking at going into this season.
3 years because we've been talking about the defense should be
specifically
good.
Because they have the name talent. They have great.
They finally got a new defensive coordinator. They got a new DC. Together.
I think it wasn't Don Capers that was there before. Capers is like Steelers. The old guy. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. I would say they had, I can't remember his name now. I remembered his name like for two seasons. It was insane. But, yeah, they don't have him anymore. They went and got the Boston College head coach to be the DC, and you're seeing that defense look very different. They're looking way more aggressive. They are way more opportunistic. And it's funny, I was listening to Dominic Foxworth, I think his Friday pod before the weekend, and he was saying how it's funny how the Packers defense is like a top 10 defense right now, but if you take away the turnovers, I don't know what PFF thing he has, but if you remove the turnovers, they're a middle of the pack defense.
Yeah.
Turnovers mean something. This is a team that
we talk
had
about
so
year.
Few turnovers last season because yep. the way they played so off ball, and now they're playing aggressively and they're playing to the ball and they're going through people. They're getting fumbles. They're getting interceptions. It makes a world of difference.
Yeah, what do you think about the Jair Alexander and Stephon Diggs dust up?
I didn't see it. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Well, and also, if your quarterback, given CJ Stroud is at one point and will be again an MVP candidate, and he's 10 of 21 for 86 yards, I don't think any wide receiver should be saying anything. I think he's just like, all right, cool. See you guys.
Nah.
See you guys later.
You gotta have pride. You gotta go out with
I know,
with
but that's a scoreboard situation.
Yeah, but I mean, would this dust up happen after the game?
I think it happened on I think it was. Oh no, actually, I take that back. I think it was pregame warmups when.
So yeah, nothing's even happening. Yeah, come on.
That's true.
I'm talking cash shit.
Stephon Diggs is out there talking so much shit.
Talking cash.
I like this new Stephon Diggs. I like this new. Well, it's not the new.
It's the same Stephon Diggs. It's just a different location. Now everybody loves it again.
Yeah, because that's true. When he goes, it's Jim Harbaugh all over again. Where
it's
like,
a new scenery.
Oh, the rah-rah
like,
thing.
Oh,
everyone
yeah.
loves it. And then by year three, you're like, get the fuck out of here, man.
It's like Russell Wilson being in a new location, and everybody's right. like, "Oh snap, he can play football." Speaking
Undefeated.
Of Pittsburgh Steelers against the Jets, they hosted the Jets on Sunday Night Football. I will say one thing prior to this review, this breakdown. Didn't watch much of this game because I was watching the WNBA Finals. But when I got back to the game, I was 3TV in it,
or not 3TV? You know what I mean, like three.
Yeah, yeah, the multi-view. Yeah. But every time the WNBA came back, I went straight to the WNBA game. And then when it went to commercial, I'd pop out and watch everything. Not much need for the Dodger game after a while. But blew out your Mets. But Brennan,
Mets.
What do you have to say for this game? So I just want to get something off my chest. Sorry, I knew I just threw it to you, but I got to get something off my chest. I was gaslit all week long about how, Robert Saleh wasn't a good coach and, you know, he didn't deserve to be the head coach at a certain point. What had he done? And Aaron Rodgers obviously knows the right things to do, and bringing in Davante Adams is going to completely change the offense and all these great things. And Joe Douglas, you know, is a good GM. Obviously, he's not. And I just sat there and I was like, guys, this was a top five defense when the head coach, who was a defensive head coach, got fired. Top five defense.
The problem wasn't the defense.
It was last year. He was
last year too. The problem wasn't the defense.
7 games with Zach fucking Wilson.
At this time last year, he was 4-3 with Zach fucking Wilson. And now they're 2-5.
With Aaron Rodgers.
And I was like, hey, I don't think the problem is the coach or the defense. I think the problem is because the three previous weeks, you had a late game situation where they couldn't get a field goal off, where they got knocked out of field goal range because he took a sack. And then you had two, we talked about it. He had two games that ended on interceptions.
Yep.
Like, that's not on the head coach.
Nor is it on the defense.
Nor is it on the defense. The defense actually kept you close in these games because, in actuality, the amount of turnovers in three and outs and stalled drives, it should have been blowouts after blowout after blowout. You shouldn't have had close games. You're lucky you got to play Bo Nix in the fucking rain and he can't do shit. You're lucky you were playing Sam Darnold in London, you know, and he looked shaky that entire game for the most part. You had a pick six in that game, by the way, too. That wasn't the defense fault. Anyways, you were going to say.
No, I was going to say Aaron Rodgers, I will say this, he did look, some of his throws, you're like, this guy is on what? Like, he is lasering these passes, and a lot of guys are dropping them. Mike Williams is not the same guy he was in L.A.
Garrett Wilson also had a very costly drop that led to an interception.
It was, yeah, it hit him right in the chest, and it just bounced off into the DB's hands. That's the one I was going to bring up, but at the same time, you have to play with the pieces that you're given, and you can't laser these balls in if they're not, like, I understand you want to haul off and chuck it as hard as you can because you want to prove to everybody, yeah, I'm going to be 41, but I can still play. You know, congratulations to you. These guys aren't going to catch them.
You know what? I mean, and this is me, like, psychoanalyzing to a degree. The overpowering the ball in, the spiking it in there, that also could be some overcompensation.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Achilles?
No, not even the Achilles. Just like,
oh, you're just a straight man overcompensation.
No, not even man overcompensation. Let me finish the sentence.
I was trying to guess because you said you were psychoanalyzing.
In the sense that I don't know if I still got it.
Yeah.
So I have to maximize every single play. I don't have any touch anymore. I don't have the same finesse anymore. I have to rock it. Everything has to be at max level.
Maximum
for this
effort to
work. Yeah. Maximum effort at all times. Like, there's no time for touch because, and the reason I say this is because we saw a lot of passes as well in this game go right into the dirt.
Yeah.
100%. A lot of balls hitting right into the dirt, not getting to where they are, short or overthrows. Like, so when he hones in on somebody, when he gets that lock in, it's just, he's just zipping it in there. And it freaking went right through Garrett Wilson's hands, should have caught it, bounced off his chest and into the arms of the defender.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things, too, that the thing that kind of perplexes me with Aaron is, it's the same reaction. If he underthrows it or if someone drops it, he still like has that look of like blaming everyone else.
Yeah. It's never his fault. Everything's always everyone else's fault.
To quote Jerry Maguire, which I do all the time, it's all about, you know, who's getting what, who ran the wrong route, who's getting paid more than you. Like, it's never like that. You will never see Aaron Rodgers do the traditional trope chest, you know, pat his chest, go, that's on me, ever. He always just throws his hands up and rolls his eyes. And it's like, dude, you threw it in the dirt. Like, what do you want me to do? And then he'll be like, oh, you ran the wrong route. It's like, okay, it's never anyone else. It's never his fault. It's everyone else's fault, does not make for a good leader.
Does not. Davante Adams, fun fact, the last game he played in Las Vegas, he lost to the Steelers, got traded, and lost to the Steelers again.
Also, it does make me kind of fired up where he openly basically said he faked his hamstring injury.
Oh,
like when he got there and they asked him,
I think
about,
we all
oh, how's your hamstring? I mean, we all did know, but that kind of stuff, like, it's this whole idea, like,
I think
that
was
same
in
team
coordination
Max Crosby,
with the team.
Oh, you think? Okay, I see. What
obviously, you're saying. I mean, I think I had told you that.
Don't hurt the asset before you trade it.
That, but also I think he went to Antonio Pierce, said he wanted to get traded. I think Jake Glazer said he wanted to get traded, and then like that's when like the trade to a second round pick, and then like by the end of the week there's a injury designation there, and it's like, okay, I think that's in coordination with the team to like
give him a reason not to play. Especially in the NBA where they'll put people on the shelf so they don't get hurt, so they're better trade assets. But I don't know. It's just you're coming from a team where Max Crosby's killing himself every single week trying to make plays, and it's like you're supposed to, like you're a captain. Like you're it's remember the Titans all over again. Nothing means anything.
But team, I'm pretty sure he enjoyed his 9 targets for 3 catches and 30 yards.
That was a mess.
That was not good. And mind you, he could have.
Lazard is now number 3 on this team, Mike. And it's, you know, he would be a number 1 receiver somewhere else. And now he's number 3. He's going to get so wide open, Mike. It's crazy.
He did have some of the, you know, a lot of people shit on Collins. I like Collinsworth, man. He has an enthusiasm for the game that we haven't seen since John Gruden.
I love how excited he is. Have you seen John Gruden's TikToks, by the
way? I was just about to say, dah, 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 dah. What is the, hey, it's a play. Oh, yeah.
Nicey, that's what it is, Nicey.
Nicey. No, he has another one that it like the sounder says it, and he says it too. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
John Gruden's lost his mind.
He's lost his mind.
I couldn't do that pregame like warm-ups. Jared Goff went 18 for 18. I couldn't do that in pregame warm-ups.
But on the other side, on the flip side, people tried to paint Mike Tomlin out to be this not smart guy. Yeah. An idiot. They thought he was crazy. They thought he took a trip down to the loony bin because he was
crazy. It might
he
work.
Was 4th and 2. He was 4th and 2. He was 4 and 2. Winning record with Justin Fields, and he decided to go from Fields to Russell Wilson now that Wilson was 100% healthy, and looked like he made the right choice. Wilson, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 264. The running game was able to open up a ton. I think I talked about last week how Najee probably had one of his best runs as a Steeler in the NFL ever. He followed that up with a 100-yard performance and a really great game. George Pickens, who, you know, was on track to be one of those Pittsburgh Steelers receivers that causes disruption, pretty sure he's happy with his 9 targets, 5 catches, 111, and a tutty. So I think everything's good there.
Russell Wilson, one thing I want to say real quick. Russell Wilson.
It was all Sean Payton's fault and Nate Hackett's fault.
Russell Wilson has gotten a lot of flack, but he's always been able to throw the deep ball. And this is now, I heard this and it stuck.
He
with
was
me.
In the kitchen.
He texted me that. I heard this and it has really stuck with me. This is the Joe Flacco offense in Baltimore, where it's like, I can put the ball up there. Just go get it.
Yeah.
Somebody just go get it. And I think George Pickens was getting really sick of this whole dink and dunk. Fields can't play, which I still disagree. I think Fields can play, and I think
he can play, and I think he can rip it, but I think he doesn't have enough fuck it in him.
Yeah,
you gotta have a level of like fuck it. Like we've Let's seen Joe go. Flacco. Yeah. Joe Flacco has a lot of fuck it shit.
Especially now, it goes up to the Browns. He's like, you're gonna cut me? I just took you to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, he's like, okay.
But that whole idea of like just throwing, and I think George likes that. I think George is like, yeah, let me go up and get it.
Yeah.
And also, if I can't, we'll get a PI. Who gives a shit?
Exactly. Put it in the area. Just give me an opportunity to make explosive plays. That's all he wants.
I think Bill Belichick said that the Pittsburgh Steelers might be in the best quarterback situation in all of the NFL as far as the teams that don't have like a true starter. And I think he's right. I think Justin Fields played well enough to where if they want to trade him, they can, if someone goes down. And also I don't believe in Russell Wilson, but for what they're trying to do, I think he's perfect for it.
Yeah. I don't think this is, like, I don't think we need Russell Wilson. Defense is so good. I don't think they need, the way the team is built, if they can replicate this running game week after week, the way the defense is playing, they just need the bare minimum, 250, a touchdown or two. Like, they don't need 400 yards and five touchdowns. Yeah. They don't need hero ball. And I think Russ is at a place after going through what he went through at his last stop in Denver. I think he is, obviously, he's been humbled. He was released.
$80 million in dead cap to get you out of this locker room.
So I think that humbles a man for sure. And I think Mike Tomlin is the right coach. Also, this is a very, very human level thing. Mike Tomlin and Russ are from the same area, damn near. I believe Russ is from Richmond, Virginia. I want to say Mike is from either Newport News or somewhere in that eastern part of Virginia area. So these are two guys who kind of speak the same language, have similar experiences in that way. So there's probably like a kinship, Hampton. So there's probably like a kinship, a relationship they've probably had, you know, from a distance at some point, because being from the area and tangentially knowing each other and whatnot. So I think this is somebody Russ will have a more high level of comfortability with Mike Tomlin than he did with, say, a Sean Payton, who came in and basically, as it appeared, just wanted to run him out of town. Payton had no real...
he had no intention of keeping
him. That's the word. He had no intentions of making Russell Wilson work. He really just wanted to get him out, get his quote-unquote guy to build his offense. And it's very funny how every time he tries to get his quote-unquote guy, it's a Taysom Hill, Bo Nix type of person. Like, he never really wants to replicate the Drew Brees thing. He just wants to get these, like, gadgety type of quarterbacks. It's very odd.
It's weird, too, because it's like you're not going for, and I don't know how this will come off, but you're not going for that, like, typical, almost stereotypical gadget guy. You're not going for a Kyler Murray or an Anthony Richardson who would be considered gadget quarterbacks in their own right.
You're going for the white gadget guy, which is a weird gadget guy. It's a weird gadget guy.
And they're not even like...
They're not spectacular gadget guys.
Yeah, I would understand if you got like a Josh Allen and you're like, okay, well, he's gigantic and also can run a 4.6.
Yeah.
But you're going after like the guys who are like 6'2", 230 and run like a 4.8. It's like, I don't know if this is your guy.
You're going after potential tight ends. Which, Taysom Hill, tight end. Exactly. You're going after potential tight ends and not potential receivers. Like, it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's so weird.
You're getting a slower, more laborious gadget guy.
Yeah. I think the Steelers might actually make the playoffs.
Steelers are for sure making the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know. That Baltimore buzzsaw in the AFC is so tough this year. But
I know, but they have to play Cleveland and Cincinnati, who are two teams that look like dog shit.
Well, Cincinnati looked okay.
Cincinnati did not look okay.
What, 21 on Cleveland? You don't think that's okay?
No.
I think the Jets are...
I think it's a serious outfit. Also, they had 17 on the Giants. The Eagles did that.
I know.
And so.
I feel for Jets fans in this respect.
Sorry.
Just because I understand what it's like to have a team where you're like, this is the team. I mean, shit, our owner said at the beginning of the year, this is the best team the Jaguars have ever assembled. And then we started 0-4. And it's like, okay, this isn't great.
He literally said that. That's crazy.
I know. But so that's what I mean is like, I feel for the Jets fans because at least our window is open. Like, we have Trevor for the next 5 years. We've got Brian Thomas. Like, we're going to be okay, hopefully, if we can get a better coach. Ben Johnson, I'm talking to you. But the Jets are out. They don't have a quarterback.
But they did this to themselves. Like,
I know.
The reason I don't feel for them is like, look, when Aaron Rodgers got sent over there, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. Like, I think the Brady model is like one of one. The Matt Stafford is different because he was like 35-ish. He wasn't 38, 39-ish. I think it's a little different. And they tricked themselves into believing that Aaron Rodgers, who, yes, coming off of two MVP seasons, but has only made one Super Bowl. The last time we saw him in a Packers uniform, he didn't run for the first down. Instead, he threw for it. They didn't go for it on fourth down. Or that might have been the second to last season. I can't remember. But a guy that is a very hesitant passer. He does. Yeah. It's so funny how people try to label him a gunslinger when he is the person who most like changed, distorted reality for quarterbacks. And it's like low risk, high reward. The only time I'm really going to chuck it deep is if I see 12 men on the field and I'm going to snap it real fast. Like, he's never trying to put offsides, it into tight windows in that way, unless it's absolutely necessary. So I don't know how the fan base, and then the problem is he got hurt on game one. So then it's just a year of, oh, once Aaron comes back, we're good. And it's like, I lay this at the feet of the GM, Joe Douglas, who came from the Eagles organization, which is hilarious. You suck at this.
I know.
You picked Zach Wilson. You went and got Aaron Rodgers. You traded for Hassan Reddick, and you didn't pay him until I think he paid him finally this week.
And
then you went and got Devontae Adams for unnecessarily, like, just bad move after. It's a desperate franchise not willing to tear it down and build it back up.
Well, they're going to have to tear it down now.
They're going to have to.
I have two things I wanted to mention real quick, and then we can move on, or unless you have anything else.
I have nothing else.
I think this is ironic.
Except Mike Tomlin is a wizard.
Yes.
Obviously. Witchcraft.
He's the warlock. We've said this many times before. I think it's ironic that after the way that Brett treated Aaron.
He's on the same path.
The same thing with less success. You will never, ever be Brett Favre. Brett Favre ran that Minnesota team by himself to the NFC Championship.
Oh, you're look at this. You're misremembering a little bit. Did you forget the, when I say same path, I mean the literal same path. Brett went to the Jets. Started off hot, though. That was the difference. He started off hot. Then ended up going 8-8 and, you know, released his dick to the world in the process. So.
That happens.
I mean, I think Aaron's at least one-upped him on that. Even though Aaron doing a lot of conspiracy theory talks and all that. Yeah. So I don't know.
So that's, in 2024, that's basically sending your dick out to the world saying, I mean,
in a way, it's pulling down your pants and exposing yourself to the world. Yes, you are correct.
But the other thing I want to say is it's interesting that Joe Douglas, who was on the staff with Howie Roseman and arguably one of the most complete teams ever assembled in Philadelphia, goes to the Jets and just everyone realizes, oh, this was Howie Roseman's thing. Like Joe Douglas as the assistant GM had very little to do with it, or so it seems, because arguably that team that went to the Super Bowl was one of the most complete teams ever created.
The thing is, it also falls on ownership. Like, Joe Douglas could be great at his job. Joe Douglas could be really good at evaluating talent and all these things. But if you get there and the owner's like, give me a winner today. Yeah. And it's like, all right, so I don't have enough time to like find the, you know, Hall of Fame center and find, you know, some of the best left and right tackles ever to walk the earth.
And also find some of the best defensive talents. Woody Johnson could have walked in and said, you're taking Zach Wilson.
That's what I'm saying. So,
So,
the problem is it all falls at the doorstep of Joe Douglas, and he looks to not be, just because you were next to the guy doesn't mean you can be the guy.
So. We'll take him. We'll get rid of Trent Baalke. We'll take Joe Douglas.
True. Talk about being
Ben Johnson
next to the guy.
And Joe Douglas.
One more round.
The Philadelphia Eagles. We destroyed the New York Giants, embarrassed them. They had to pull Daniel Jones and bring in Drew Lock. Didn't allow 100 yards through the air. Didn't allow 100 yards on the ground. Kept them 3 points. Defense played insanely well.
You're so up and down your defense.
Right? It's so annoying. Great game. Horrible game. Great game. Even though I think we're on a run of two good games back to back. Held Cleveland to 16. But offense didn't do well. The offense should be doing more. I wish they would do more early on. It's like they finally wake up in the second quarter and then they're like, oh, yeah, this is how we should play. Saquon, a buck 76, a touchdown. He played like a man possessed, in Brennan's words. Hurts got two, you know, tush pushes, brotherly shoves in there. AJ Brown, amazing. What a guy. Oh, I might name my kids after him. But yeah, no, N'Kobe Dean. I do want to shout out specifically N'Kobe Dean.
Shout out.
We talked about him when he was getting drafted. Didn't play that first year. Got hurt last year. This kid, if you watch an Eagles game, the amount of ground N'Kobe Dean covers, he is all over the place.
He's everywhere.
He got a sack last. He had two sacks yesterday. Sorry, but when there's a pass that's in the second level, he's somehow always the first guy to get there to make the tackle. He is all over that field. It's very good to see, you know, some of that promise actually being fulfilled there. He really has a nose for the ball. Nolan Smith also, I want to say, had a sack or at least a half a sack. He had two sacks. No, he had one sack yesterday, two tackles for losses. The front line, they looked really good. The Giants also have a hurt. Their left tackle, who's their best tackle, was out of this game. But the offensive line, the defensive line looked really good. Eight sacks. Cooper DeJean also playing extremely well. So yeah,
still a corner. They're not moving him to safety.
They're not moving him, baby. They're not moving him. I love it. I love to see it. But yeah, another game. The biggest thing for me, though, you know, be mad with the offense, slow start, and all. No turnovers.
Yeah,
huge. That is the difference, because the problem is, we're not getting many turnovers. As good as the defense has been playing so far, in as the season has continued, they're still not getting a ton of turnovers. So if we're not going to create turnovers, we cannot give away the ball easily. And this is two games back-to-back. Jalen hasn't turned it over, so that is very good.
One more round.
All right, I'm going to talk about Jacksonville and New England. This was in London. Jags were technically at home. We put it on the Patriots.
That was a big
full
difference.
Disclosure:
there.
I started to watch this game coming back from the airport. We had a 6 a.m. flight. Got back into JFK around 8:30. By the time we got on the subway, it was about 9:30. And I'm gonna be honest with everybody listening. I kind of maybe snapped at my girlfriend because I'm watching this game. The Patriots are putting it on us in the first quarter. I'm like, they quit on the team, and then we're waiting. There's like a 15-minute wait for one of the three subways we have to take. And I turned to her, and I'm like, this is why we should have taken an Uber. But it was really just me being mad at the Jags. Couple of things, big win. I hope this doesn't give hope for the future as far as the coaching and the GM. I still think we need to clean house there. And nothing spoke to that more than watching the post-game locker room speech by Doug Peterson. Players are looking down at the ground. Some players are rolling their eyes. He's lost that locker room. But the team looked good, and it's surprising with all this talent. And, Joe, you know this being an Eagles fan. When everything comes together and it works the way it's supposed to work, you're like, yeah, why can't we do this every week? So that's what we saw. Trayvon Walker, I see so many people pushing his stats, being like, he's living up to the hype. And it's like, no, he's not. But at the same time, he is playing better, and I think he's slowly coming into his own. But first overall pick, no. But also, he's playing better. I have hopes for the Jags team in the sense that I don't think this season will be a total wash. And I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. And there's hope for the future, because when this team plays the way they should, it looks good. And we have a lot of these guys locked up for the next 3, 4, 5 years. So I think we're going to be all right. Also, we're missing the general of the defense. You know, Aluakon has been out, and you can really see that, especially with the run defense. It's, you know, people want to say it's a team sport, and it is. But when you're your middle linebacker who controls the calls, who controls the pace of the game, is out, it's a death blow. I mean, he's one of the top three inside linebackers in the league behind Fred Warner and Roquan Smith. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you lose him, that's kind of sucks.
Two things. One, your season kind of turned around last year with this game in London, that second game,
the Bills
in London.
Game, yeah.
But also, I want to say this is my win. You're welcome. All right. I picked you guys to win by more than six, I want to say, on a new low. And then me and my buddies started a gambling group chat where we put the lowest person in fantasy, puts up $5. Everybody makes picks, and you know who I made my pick? Jags. My lock of the week, Jags. They got home field advantage this time, baby.
Duval, so, baby.
Stand up.
One more round.
Cleveland, Cincinnati. Cincinnati won this game.
Best Cleveland, show on turf, Cincinnati.
Cleveland dealt with the karma police. So Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles in this game. Achilles.
That meme you sent me was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry about my Achilles.
So the crowd booed or cheered. They cheered that he was out, hurt and out. And this led to Jameis Winston and Myles Garrett getting on their high horses and telling people how they should.
Went on for 2.5 minutes. Should,
my God. And he's the worst messenger on this. Anyways. But I will say, I agree with them.
Wow. We talked about this a little before, and then we were like, no, save it for the show. Didn't see this coming. For those of you who didn't see it, Myles Garrett, the headline is, he said Deshaun Watson was
I don't remember. It was crazy. I don't agree with what they said.
He was an upstanding citizen through that's what he said. He was an
college
citizen
and some of the pros.
Most. He said most of his professional career.
Yeah, he gave himself. He carved out some wiggle room. But the reason I agree with them is I don't agree with why the people booed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If Deshaun Watson had been playing lights out and was lighting the world on fire and had Cleveland in a winning position, those people would have, their heart would have
sank. Nobody
would
have cared.
When he got hurt.
Nobody would have cared about the Chargers. Nobody would have cared about any of it.
Exactly. Because when he first got signed, there, they were making jokes about it. Not everybody, but a lot of people were making jokes. A lot of people swallowed their morals and their standards and they got behind the team and the player. I know a lot of people who have stopped rooting for the Browns because of that signing, but there are a lot of people who were still showing up. So me, who was making snide remarks and jokes after the injury, that was me being consistent. And yeah. I was doing that because of morally, I find him reprehensible. And I call him the nasty man, like as his name now. That's like his subheading for me. But the fans in the stadium who Twitter were handle. Booing and or cheering when he got hurt, they were doing it because he had been performing poorly for their team. So for his teammates to go out there and defend him, saying that he showed up every day, he played every game, he did every practice, that is true. That is what he did. His duties as a player, he went out there, took the slings and arrows. Now, the problem with what they're saying is they're not acknowledging that the slings and arrows that are coming from some people beyond that stadium is of his own making. He sharpened the arrowhead that we are now shooting
he
at.
He gave
him.
Them the rope to hang himself with.
Literally. So I do think it's also very interesting and misguided, but I understand because, you know, a locker room, you have to work with this guy. He's your coworker. They did not say anything when he got signed there. Mum was the word. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've heard Myles Garrett talk about Deshaun Watson, I feel like. Yep. James Winston, you just got there 20 seconds ago. And don't forget, and don't think I've forgotten your charge.
Yeah.
In Tallahassee, or the sexual harassment charge you had after the Arizona Super Bowl in the Uber with that woman who was the Uber driver. So you're the wrong messenger on this guy. You shouldn't talk about morals and how people should be treating people and whatnot, because maybe if you had a little more moral and discipline in your life from a younger age, you wouldn't have acted like a jackass growing up. Now you've obviously changed your life. You have a wife and a child and you seem more like an upstanding citizen. But just because you are where you are now does not negate what you were when you were younger. So, yeah, that's all I got on that.
No, I completely agree. The only thing I want to kind of piggyback on is this. You're 100% right. This whole idea that if he was playing well, it would have been tears being shed. Like, oh no, our season. Also, I think this could be a Jets Woody Johnson situation where the owner was like, no, we paid him this much money. You're going to play. Kevin Stefanski's a good coach.
Kevin Stefanski's a great coach.
I don't think he wanted to play him, but he had to.
You know the funniest theory on this? I need to listen to Dominique Foxworth's episode from today. I think it was 2 weeks ago. They were talking about how bad he was playing. And Dominique was like, at this point, I think they're playing him in the hopes that he gets hurt.
Yeah, I heard that around too.
And then he was like, and then he switched it. He was like, no, you know what? Next level thinking. I think Deshaun is playing and is like demanding to play until he gets hurt.
Yeah. I don't think Deshaun Watson ever plays football again. And he doesn't.
I think it's done. I think it's a wrap. He wasn't after everything that happened.
Or a quarter of $1 billion. He's fine.
Yeah. I mean, the money's guaranteed. All of the money is guaranteed. That's the other thing that really pisses me off. All of his money is guaranteed. So
they're going to be in cap hell.
He's a shit human being. He has all this money. I know money doesn't buy you happiness, but money gets you the opportunity to get the fuck out of my face and so I never see you again or have to hear from you ever again. Because the misguidedness for Myles Garrett and Jameis to put their capes on to defend his honor, like he needed any defending. Like, the only defense he needs is a defensive attorney.
Yeah. Well, he's got a few of them. I can see that from Jameis more so than Miles. Miles has never given any of us any indication that he would back him. And you said it yourself. He hasn't spoken word one about the Deshaun situation since he's gotten there. And then to come
maybe
out
here
like
and
this,
there, but nothing that came out nationally that made national ripples.
So the Jameis thing, I kind of get, you know, you're in the quarterback room together. You two have had your own turmoils. I get that, but Miles, from all accounts, seems to be one of the greatest human beings on and off the field. For him to come out,
I was disappointed.
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I understand his anger at the fans because they're all hypocrites. We all are as fans, but
and I think
to
the
take
only
that stance for him, it's like
the only leeway I will give is that Miles, in another player, seeing that happen to a fellow player. He sees himself in that player. Yeah. Once they stop loving you, they will turn on you kind of thing. Absolutely. That's the only wiggle room. But the problem is in that he also tried to defend his character. Yeah. And it's no.
You can't.
No. You miss me with that shit.
Eminem says it best, man. Even future will be the past tense. Like they'll stop loving you. And I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense to me. But again, you just said it and I'll say it again and then we can move on. The character. You can't defend the dude's character. He was a good teammate. Fine. He showed up every day.
Fine.
But the whole.
Do not tell me how he was an
upstanding citizen
for all of college and most of his
professional career.
Like, no, actually, we found out none of his professional career was he an upstanding citizen.
Yeah, exactly.
He was kind of like.
You know, those charges go back to when he was a rookie.
Yeah. So, like, this guy is like the ultimate predator. And they run up until past COVID.
Yeah.
So, like, no, this guy, while he was going through the shit in 2020, he was still doing the shit.
And also, you don't think Clemson, if he was doing this in college, which I'm not
was
saying
it
he
covering
was,
it up like a motherfucker? Like, come on.
I know someone, a friend of my other podcast, Daisy Tackett, who was sexually assaulted by a second string long snapper, and Kansas covered it up. You don't think Clemson's watching out for their national championship quarterback?
My buddy was around. My buddy and his wife went to Florida during the Tebow Aaron Hernandez years. And now I don't think everybody was aware of like the murderer Aaron Hernandez was, but everybody on campus was aware that the football team was very out of control and having multiple arrests a season. And it never made its way to national media in that way.
Never would.
They just put Tebow in front of that and said, let God and let give.
Yep.
One more round.
All right. The last game we're going to talk about. San Francisco, Kansas City, and then we're going to power through the rest of this because we're already at an hour. Jesus, we do this every week.
Damn, man.
The only thing I want to say about this, Kansas City looks good. San Francisco looks like they're a little shaky. Brock Purdy doesn't look like Brock Purdy without all his weapons. Also,
all his weapons
are gone. Patrick Mahomes faking the going out of bounds and then gaining an extra like 15 yards. He's going to get lit up next time he tries to go out of bounds. And they'll take the 15-yard penalty because they're going to be like, you don't do that shit. To me, that's just as bad as faking the slide.
The Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, the Kenny Pickett. You are protected for a reason.
Yeah.
And you are protected differently. So if you're going to take advantage of that, I know plenty of defensive players that'll take the 15 yards. I know plenty of coaches that'll say, take the 15 yards. Make sure he knows he can't do that shit with us.
Well, I don't know if somebody's going to try it after he laid the wood to old boy. I think they might think twice about that.
He's a big dude.
He is a big dude. But yeah, some of these DBs, I don't know if they want that business. You have to send a linebacker.
Ask Anthony Richardson if they want that business. DBs are the ones who take him out.
I was like, yeah, he keeps getting hurt from it.
Ask Tua Tagovailoa if he wants that business.
Well, he's a tiny man. So,
yeah, DeMar Hamlin's huge.
Look, they're about the same height and weight. That's what I'm saying. He's a tiny quarterback. Do want to note that George Kittle, I believe, suffered an injury in this game. Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL and MCL in this game, so he's done for the rest of the year. So happy. Not so happy, but thankful for him that he got paid before this happened. Yes. And he didn't just go out there on on his expiring contract. And Debo, I believe, got a pneumonia. So
yeah, and they didn't announce it until the game, like 2 minutes before the game.
So all this on top of Christian McCaffrey pretty much never playing football again. I think he was in attendance for this game. Am I crazy? I thought I saw him on the sideline.
Maybe. Tua has 1 inch and 25 pounds on DeMar Hamlin, just so we set the record straight on that.
1 inch?
25 pounds is a lot.
And he put his head into DeMar Hamlin's chest and he fell to the ground. It's a fragile man.
You got to be careful with these DBs, man. Yeah, here, hunting.
No, he put his helmet into somebody's pads.
Minka Fitzpatrick and tell me how that works out.
Yeah, it's not going to work out well. Brennan, I think we have a game.
This is NCAA football's Who's In, Who's Out, Who's Up, Who's Down, hosted by you, the one and only Joe Dorville. Joe!
Who's in, who's up, who's in, who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out. Brennan, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I almost fucked it up. Brennan, which one would you like first?
Let's go with the tradition that always keeps on giving. Who's in, who's out?
Who's in, who's out? Who is in is Vanderbilt in at number 25. They did recently, but hey, they beat Alabama this season.
I think
so
it's more of what Alabama
who gives
did
a damn. Alabama lost recently. And who's out is Michigan. I can't remember who they lost to. I can't remember if it was
Illinois. I watched that game and I forgot that they lost.
Was it Illinois? It was Illinois. 21-7 they lost. So they went from 24 to out. All right, now who's up and who's down? I do want to get right up top and say this. Shout out to the Armed Forces, Army, Navy, coming in at number 23 and 24, keeping their unbeaten streaks alive. Army is 7-0, Navy is 6-0. So shout out to them. All right, who's up and who's down outside of that? Texas is down 4 spots after losing to Georgia. Georgia went up 3 spots after beating number one Texas.
I believe I had that.
Oregon is number one now. Tennessee went up 4 spots after beating Alabama. Kalen DeBoer, I hope you have security, 24-hour security around your house. And I hope you have security for your security, because your security could be from Tuscaloosa as well, and they might be out for you. Alabama falls 8 spots down to number 15. Boise State falls 2 spots to number 17. They didn't take a loss, so I don't know. Maybe not an impressive performance. SMU falls 1 spot to number 22. Did they suffer a loss? And Mizzou fell 2 spots down to number 21.
But a team did not make any movement. Brennan, you want to know who that is?
Ohio State. Mizzou
beat Auburn and SMU beat Stanford. No, Miami somehow did not move up or down, though we won our game against a in-conference matchup. So now we have not one, not two, but three one-loss teams ranked ahead of a Power 5 undefeated squad. And Tennessee is right on our heels, I tell you, as well as LSU. So I don't know what Miami has to do to impress the AP. I'm very interested. I want to say it's either next week or the week after where we'll see the college football playoff rankings come out.
Yeah, the official ones.
Yeah, because I feel like the AP at this point, it obviously has some bias tied to it. The problem is in the last 10 to 15 years, there has been so much propaganda as far as the ACC, the SEC, the best conference ever. No, you really had like two really, really phenomenal teams at the top. And then the rest, everybody was kind of like mediocre-ish. Like yep. Mediocre-ish to good. You had a Florida pop out for a couple seasons with Urban Meyer. You had Cam Newton at Auburn for one season. But outside of that, it wasn't like fucking Arkansas was making ripples. It wasn't like Kentucky was making hay. Like the rest of these teams are kind of like, eh.
Yeah, they're top heavy.
Yeah. So, and then also you have the Big Ten, which is, you know, Big Ten football. Ooh, same thing, though. You had Ohio State really propping that up for 15 years until Jim Harbaugh finally got there and then finally just now won a championship. Outside of that, Wisconsin, Penn State.
Remember when Iowa went on that undefeated streak and everyone's like, this is fake, and then they got boat raced?
Yeah, like to a third string quarterback in Ohio State, Cardale Jones, shout out. We ain't come to play school. But yeah, so I think the ACC has gotten the short end of the stick, even though they had Florida State and Clemson. It's funny, the ACC got hit with what all the conferences should have been hit with, but they only applied that logic to the ACC, saying like, oh, it's top heavy, yeah, and everybody else is kind of floundering. Well, it's true for all of the conferences. But only the ACC, like, people actually judged it how it should be judged. So, yeah, as you can tell, I'm very vexed that Miami is somehow stuck at six. When, again, I will say again, they have the best quarterback in the country. They have the best team top to bottom, in my estimation, especially now after seeing Texas get mollywopped by a not good Georgia offense. Like, a Georgia offense is not that good. Carson Beck is not that good.
Their defense, and they boat race Texas. So, I love saying that, boat race.
All right, number one, Oregon. Number two, Georgia. Number three, Penn State. By the way, Penn State almost lost to fucking USC. Don't get me started. Number four, Ohio State. Five, Texas. Six, Miami. Seven, Tennessee. Eight, LSU. Nine, Clemson. 10, Iowa State. 11, BYU. And number 12, because you know they will not take them out, Notre Dame. Even though Indiana is 7-0, and Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois.
Real quick, huge shout out. They're not in the top 12, so they don't get a lot of love. But Boise State's running back, Ashton Genty.
Genty? Yeah.
From Jacksonville, Florida. Duval stand up has almost as many yards as the quarterback. He is short by 25 yards, 1,248 yards on the season.
See, I'm aware of Ashton Genty, but I did not. I'm shocked. I'm just finding out that he's from Jacksonville.
Averages 9.9 yards a carry.
This Where'd man, he go to school?
You don't I just know. Had it up. No, I just no, I don't know offhand. I just had it up though. He went to it doesn't say, it just says birthplace Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. Interesting. This dude's a monster. He has 1,200 yards in six games.
The crazy thing is he's not that big.
5'9".
215.
Like, I mean, 215 in a 5'9 frame is big, but you know, I know what you're saying.
But it's a Lone Star High School. What the hell?
Can we just talk about the fact real quick? And then we have to move on because I'm tired.
Sorry.
He has 1,248 yards in six games.
No, he's playing insanely well.
That's 200 yards a game he's averaging.
He has 17 touchdowns.
This is
nuts. Cam Ward doesn't have 17 passing touchdowns yet. He's playing insane.
I wish.
And if they beat Oregon, they're in a way better position.
I wish this was the old NFL and like you could take him in the first round and people wouldn't judge you. And I wish that there was more of a track record of running backs translating, because this dude looks in college. He looks like so legit. It's embarrassing people. He's going to win the Heisman.
Born in Jacksonville, but he eventually moved to Frisco, Texas.
You know, the great players come out of Florida. All right, let's get out of here.
Well, we're not done here. Right,
no, I know.
The NBA, it's finally back. Brendan, who do you think win the championship this year?
Championship this year. I have the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Boston Celtics. Oklahoma City is poised. They got a lot of, they're a young team, but they got a lot of reps. Last year in the playoffs, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is old enough. You know, we always say young players don't win the championship in the NBA. I think he has had enough scars, first playing with the Clippers and now with Oklahoma City, where he can propel that team to win. And they got the, they were the one of the worst rebounding teams last year, and they've got some help there now and some trades that they made. So, and DiVincenzo can shoot. So
DiVincenzo is not on OKC.
I'm sorry. Not DiVincenzo. Who's the dude they picked up in the offseason?
Hardenstein?
Hardenstein.
They bring him over for free agency.
Yeah, yeah. I like Oklahoma City. I think they've got the rebounding thing covered with the next guy, Hardenstein.
Hardenstein also going to miss like 5 weeks of the season with a hand injury.
So is Kristaps Porzingis.
Just saying. I think the Denver Nuggets, I mean, it's a trope at this point. I think the Denver Nuggets are going to win it all.
Who do you have for MVP?
Funny thing.
Nikola Jokic?
No, I was going to say he's not going to get it this year. It's going to go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A lot of people were clamoring for him to get it last year.
Yep.
I think he was a viable candidate for it last year, but I think this is the year after a full season of seeing it get done. I think people are going to, you know, they're not going to want to give Nikola a fourth before he gets a second championship.
Yeah, and I think we need to get away from centers for a little bit.
I don't know, man. If they're the best player out there, the best player out there. But I think Shai will get it. It'll be earned and deserved. He's a phenomenal talent.
I think with this new revamp Minnesota team, Anthony Edwards could also be in the running.
They have another trade
to make, but I think Anthony Edwards could propel this team to pretty deep in the playoffs.
I don't know how good they're going to be out the gate.
I know. I completely agree with that. I think they're going to have to make another trade, but I think with some of the pieces they picked up, they might be able to do that.
And then a little bit longer shot, because again, I don't know how this team's going to fare in the regular season. Luka Doncic.
You're out of your mind.
What do you mean?
Luka Doncic is a heliocentric player. He's not the most valuable player. He's the only player. He can't win this award.
I think he can potentially
saying it out loud.
I was like, Wilson, I don't know who he's.
Or Russell Wilson. Russell Westbrook won this award. James Harden won this award. So,
Kobe Bryant won this award. Like,
yeah, as soon as I said it, I regretted it.
Like, yeah. So
it's just like Nikola Jokic makes everyone around him better. So that's like now that's kind of the mindset I think of when I think MVP, because he's won three out of the last four. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. So SGA, Ant Edwards, and Luka Doncic is who I have. I think we've consensually agreed on.
Yep.
All right, on to the quits.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick, name it hits.
Quick hit.
When we last saw you guys, we were setting up for, I want to say, game three of the WNBA Finals. And now it has concluded. Game three went to the Liberty. Game four went to the Lynx. And game five also went to the Liberty. This was one of the best final series in recent history, as far as the competitiveness of the games. You had two overtime games in these five games. And just how closely contested it was pretty much throughout. And in that last game, it was a slugfest back and forth. It was a game five feel. I'm so happy you said it and I didn't say it. But, very questionable referee.
I mean, I called for the Liberty to win this, but not like this.
Now, the thing about that, Brendan, is like, so while I was watching it, I was like, man, this is this kind of looks shady. It looks iffy. And then you had that final call where they again give Stewie a foul to make her go to the line at the end of the game. And I was like, really, we're doing this again? This is kind of crazy. And then you see the replay and you're like, this is not
19 from three. You don't win that game.
And the thing that finally got me over the edge to be like, holy shit, this is pretty egregious.
This is Brandon, David's Stern letter.
Do you know what the free throw disparity was, Brendan?
8-25.
8-25.
Yep.
I was baffled. Brendan, Nafisa Collier didn't attempt a free throw.
And she got mauled by John Collier.
She got a couple of those bludgeoned time after time after time. When I finally saw that, I was like, I didn't even realize how bad it was as I was watching it. It took really? Me a second. Like, I was like, man, this feels, I was like, the officiating is bad. Don't get me wrong. I was like, the officiating is bad. But it didn't click the free throw disparity until like the game was over and I looked at it today and I was like, holy shit. 8-20. I was like, I didn't realize that part in real time.
They had the head coach of the Liberty when they're talking about that final play, like they're in the huddle and they're going over like the play and hey, dish it to Stewie, if you're in here, do this, do that. And then she literally says, exaggerate it because it is a foul and they're going to call the foul, exaggerate it. And as soon as she said the second exaggerate it, they cut the audio and then the announcers came on and were like, yeah, so we're going to have a, and then that's exactly what happened. And I was like, and even the announcers were like, who was it?
I don't know
if
that's a foul.
Ryan
Rucco and Rebecca Lobo.
Yeah. They were like, that's not a foul. They were like, looked at it from a different angle. And Rucco was like, oh, maybe? I guess from this angle, it looks like a foul.
They were both like, kind of marginal.
They called that same foul. They called it by like the defensive player was out of position or whatever. And I was, or not in a defensive position. And I was like, you got.
And also, Stewie traveled right before.
So like, bad.
It was crazy. Like, it took. LeBron James even tweeted, like, bro, that's not a foul.
Yeah. And I called for the Liberty to win this. I thought the Liberty were the better team. And I was wrong. The Lynx were the better team.
And this was an annoying thing. Like, I kept hearing as well. Not annoying, but just. All right, follow my logic here. So I was listening to Dan Le Batard's show this morning. And. Jessica Smetana and Mike Schur came on and they both said the same thing, like terrible officiating. But on the flip side, the Liberty were the best team all year. Like it's not shocking that they were. And I was like, wait, so if we just give it to the best team, all year, why are we playing playoffs? We should just go to the English soccer, just have it be whoever's the best at the end of the season. They win. Cause if that's what we're going to say when the team should have lost, obviously, on that last call, like, then why are we playing any of these playoff games if it's just going to go to whoever was the best team during the regular season?
Yeah, and everyone knows how I feel about Sabrina Ionescu. I love her. If she wasn't already married, I'd try to marry her. But I don't know how you enjoyed this victory after you personally went 1 of 16 from three. Like, I don't understand how you could be like, yeah, we deserve this. You know,
well,
what I mean?
The thing is, so the thing there is for the team, they can be like, we played all season long. We earned this 32 wins. We all had phenomenal years. So that's how they can rationalize. Like one game doesn't define your season in that way.
I agree,
except,
but
you know, it kind of does sometimes. But no, but I will say for her, she shot atrociously.
It was so bad.
She had some of the best dimes I've seen in this game.
Yeah.
There was a backdoor to Stewie. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was clutch.
That was pretty insane.
In a sense, like, look, game sevens, closeout games are tough. We've seen a lot of, you know, some of the best players play ugly. Not trying to say this is similar to Kobe's game seven against the Celtics, but in that game seven against the Celtics, He was shooting pretty shit, and he needed Ron Artest to really step up and make a lot of clutch shots to help them win that. And I don't want to get out of this segment without shouting out Naira Sabali, Satu Sabali's younger sister.
Yeah.
Huge. I tweeted it like I want to say early in the third quarter when she had a couple layups. Huge minutes. She ended up playing 17 minutes off the bench. Gave them 13 points and 7 boards and a block.
Average 3.3 points in the season, 2.7 points in the playoffs, and then had an MVP level game 5.
Insane, yo. Like, I was in like so many group threads and chats and whatnot, and me and my buddy were like, the MVP of this game is Sabali. Like, if not for her, they lose this game. She was 100%. Everywhere.
I thought she was going to dunk it when they got her on the fast. I was like, put it in there.
I was like, it was insane. But shout out to Jonquil Jones. She got the finals MVP for the series. Well deserved, aside from the fact that she kept judo chopping Alana Smith and just dropping her like DDT style on her side. That was pretty ridiculous. Only got called for it finally in game 5. She did it in game 1 as well. But Jonquil Jones was the difference maker. Nafisa Collier couldn't really guard her. Also, she was hooking her as well. But Nafisa Collier couldn't do much with her once they got the ball to Jonquil. Once they just said, we're just going to run the entire offense through Jonquil. Yeah. That's when they finally started getting like some sparks there. So shout out to the Liberty. You know, a season that was deserved to have some rewards. Don't know about the game plan. The OT, they obviously won the OT.
Yeah.
But regulation.
It shouldn't
look a little sus. Looks a little sus there.
And I live in New York. I'm a Liberty fan. I love Sabrina Ionescu.
I won't walk out of this segment without saying Kayla McBride showed up 21 points. The only person really to go to the free throw line. She was 6 of 6. She really showed up. She had some really clutch moments driving to the basket, hitting from outside. Nafisa Collier did what she does. The person that they needed something from and who had given them something all series, Courtney Williams. I really like Courtney. She played here in Atlanta for a couple of seasons and only 4 points. Like, this was your moment.
Yeah.
This was your moment. Like, we needed a little couple more plays out of her, and she couldn't give it to them. She shy after shy after shy, clanking off the rim. Don't know if it was nerves or what, but yeah, it was unfortunate that she had such a bad performance and it resulted in the loss. And, you know, she hits a couple more shots. The way New York was playing so poorly, they should have been able to grow a lead where New York playing that bad should not have been able to get close to them. But they were also shooting poorly as well, 37% to New York's 30%. Like, they needed to make shots.
It was such a Brock fight.
It was, yeah. Closeout games, man. Like,
yeah,
the Liberty started so slow. Like, the Liberty were missing everything short.
They were down by 12 at one point, and I was like, this might be over. I texted you when they roared back from 12. I was like, oh, this is over. I was right. The Liberty are going to dominate. And then it was just miss after miss after miss.
But a great game. Really glad to see, like, obviously the game is growing. I don't think the ratings for the final game is out, but the whole series was like some of the best ratings ESPN has had on the WNBA finals. So
makes sense why they'd rig it.
And we had some breaking news today after the end of the season, obviously. The players have opted out of their CBA. And they're going to go to the negotiation table and hopefully get some more of the revenue split. Because I think right now they're under 10% as far as the revenue split. And that's why their contracts are so shit.
Under 10%?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's
that feels impossible.
It's under that because the TV deal wasn't that much when they signed it. Because they signed it in 2020. The TV deal wasn't that much. Okay. You had no gate, really. You had no revenue to really speak on. And then the league at that point operated at a loss to where really couldn't.
Like, we're losing money.
Yeah, we're losing money by doing this. Now, with even though in this year they technically lost revenue, but the ratings and everything is charting upwards. They just got a new TV deal.
The TV deal.
Yeah, obviously they just got a new TV deal, so everything is going upwards, and obviously the players are going to have demands, and one of those I'm hoping is more percentage of the revenue escalator, honestly, on the revenue split. So
that's
that
crazy. It's like 49-51 in the NFL. It's 50-50 in Major League.
Yeah, it's like 50-50 in the NBA. Yeah.
That's nuts.
But again, we got it put into perspective.
100%.
It took a long time for it to get to 50-50 in the NBA. It took a long time.
Like the WNBA has
been around for a long time. Yeah, they've only been around for 20 years. Like the NBA only got to 50-50, I want to say, at the last lockout. And that was like 2010. 2011-ish.
And the NFL just got to like 48-52 or 49-50, whatever they're at. They just got to that.
At their last lockout. 10
years, yeah.
So, yeah. So, game is growing. And, a phenomenal final. And I think, I don't remember if I talked about it last week, but next year, the playoff finals, they're going to go to 7 games. So, that's going to be fun to watch as well.
And maybe don't do it against Sunday Night Football.
If you're going to do it against Sunday Night Football, that was the right Sunday Night Football game.
Was.
Dude.
I had no problem putting
it. I had no problem clicking over. All right, Flash. Brennan, we have the MLB World Series that everyone in New York and LA was clamoring for.
I saw a very funny tweet, which is, I love that my kids love baseball because it shows them the realities that if you have enough money and you're an evil empire, you'll always win.
Yeah, pretty much. I was so rooting for Cleveland to upset the Yankees and then beat the Dodgers. And
that was a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah. After that David Fry home run, though, I was like, oh, maybe.
I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has happened in baseball.
We've seen it with Tampa Bay all the time.
Yeah. But they never
finished the job. $20 million payroll.
But who do you think is going to win, Dodgers or Yankees?
I've got the Dodgers. They're just a more stable team. The Yankees rely too heavily on the
boppers.
Long ball. Yeah. So I think Shohei's going to pitch just because.
I don't think he's
gonna. I think that'd be so cool.
It would be, but I don't think.
I think the Dodgers are deeper in pitching. I think the Dodgers have more on base kind of hitters. I don't think the long ball.
One of those things was correct. The second was not.
I thought they were more of a like a get on base kind of a team.
Oh no, that is the one that's correct.
They're not deeper in pitching?
Their pitching has been god awful.
No, but I'm saying Shohei's gonna come pitch.
Shohei's not gonna come pitch.
Who do you have? I have Dodgers. I have Dodgers in 6.
I think the Yankees are gonna win this. I think the Yankees are.
I think Tyler doesn't like you anymore.
This is a crazy thing to say about the Yankees, the evil empire. But the Yankees are more, one, they're better constructed. And they're on like a team of destiny kind of ride. They have been knocking on the door. Think about it, though. They've been knocking on the door for several years here. And they have more homegrown talent on their roster than the Dodgers do.
That's true.
I was about to say.
I was just
Dodgers,
about to say when you
as
said
far
knocking
as like
on the door,
top
I
level
say, you
players.
Can't go buy a championship, but they actually haven't done that.
I was about to say if we're looking at their roster, let's look at their depth chart. Gerrit Cole, they brought him in, obviously. Wells, I don't know what the heck Wells was from. Gleyber Torres, Volpe, Judge. It's really 3 guys.
That's all you need.
It's really 3 guys. But Stanton's been there for a while now.
Juan Soto's been there for a minute, too.
Juan Soto, I think he got there like a second and a half ago. But they got Jazz at the break. The Dodgers.
Well, we're not
Dodgers
counting people that got at the break.
The Dodgers do keep a couple guys. Muncy.
Is it more than 3? Because then your whole argument falls apart.
Muncy, Smith, Taylor. I think that's the only 3. So they got 3
as I think
well.
The Dodgers have the best player in the series.
I don't think so.
Mookie Betts is far and away
going to win this for them. What do you mean? I think it's going to come down to pitching, and I think the Yankees have far better pitching. You know what the Yankees didn't let happen? Like 4 games of 10 the other way.
That's true. some of those scores, you're like, what? Who's how many runs?
They gave up 10. They gave up 10 to the Padres in one game. They gave up 8. No, they gave up 7 to the Mets in one game. Then they gave up 12 to the Mets in another game.
Oh, Yankees don't have scores like that?
The Yankees.
I'm being sarcastic. No, they do not. It was all like
they do not. Nothing the over they got 10 put on
them was like seven.
Seven. Yeah, yeah. Seven in the David Fry homer game. So, yeah, I think the Yankees have a better pitching staff, and that's what's gonna. And they got better. They have more. They got fucking Judge, Soto, and Stan. Like,
I know.
You don't want to see. That's a murderer's row. Hey, guy. Hey,
and Anthony Rizzo.
That's a murderer's row, okay? I don't know if you know this. Hey,
don't worry, Anthony Rizzo. Your brother took my girl in college.
That's right.
I'll never forget you.
Also,
I cursed the Rizzo name.
They got a couple Marlins up there, so I like the Yankees more. And it's also funnier if the Dodgers lose.
Yeah.
I'm looking for maximum humor.
2020 doesn't count. If you can't, if fans aren't in the stands,
exactly. It doesn't count. Even though it counts, but the fact that you couldn't just get Mookie. You couldn't just get Freeman. You had to then go get Shohei. If you lose with all of that, you still can't win. And the only one you won is when nobody was there. It makes it a little funnier.
Also, it's hilarious. Shohei went to the Dodgers because he was tired of playing on a losing team. And given they've made it to the World Series, but if he still can't get over that hump, that's going to be the ultimate FU by the karma gods.
The thing is, he at least made it to the postseason.
Yeah, that's true.
In this one season, Brennan, he's played more postseason games than Mike Trout.
That's hilarious. But also, no one remembers second place.
That is true. Unless it's funny enough.
That's true. All right, let's get to everyone's second favorite segment, the Fulham Corner, hosted by Joe Dorville.
Righty then. Fulham loss.
Yep. Lost in a big way.
It's very unfortunate. Very upsetting. Very annoying.
3-1.
3-1. Yeah. And we started the game ahead. We scored in the first 5 minutes, and then they scored right after. Then it was pretty much 1-1 for a while there. And then Ollie Watkins got a header in like the 60th minute or so. And that put them up. And then about 5 minutes after that, Joakim Andersen got a red card and got sent off the field, which was very unfortunate. And then like soon after the red card, we had our own goal from the defender we brought in to bolster the defense. And that was just like, oh, insult to injury. So it was an unfortunate game. We should have won or at least come out with a draw. But we're going to go see Everton next week. So that should be a cure-all, at least for a week. Raul was the goal scorer. No, Austin Villa is a very good team.
Oh, I'm sorry.
also, I forgot. The thing that was kind of the most painful was it was 1-1, and then we got a foul in the box. And so we had a pen. And Raul has been taking a lot of the pens lately,
yeah,
but for some reason, Andreas Pereira took the pen, and Austin Villa's goalkeeper is Emi Martinez. And if that name sounds just a slightly familiar, it's because Emi Martinez is the goalkeeper for Argentina, who just won the most recent World Cup on pens, and he like blocked a bunch of pens to help them win that on pens. So he's a really good goalkeeper for pens, and he blocked.
Will you stop saying pens like that?
He blocked the goal. So I wish Raul took it.
You just said pens like six times.
But
are you doing a bit?
No, but I just got in a rhythm. So yeah.
Oh, you mean the World Cup goalkeeper blocked the pen?
He blocked the pen.
Can you believe it?
So. That was unfortunate, but yeah, a 3-1 loss.
That own goal, that because it's based on points and stuff. That sucks.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You don't want to give that extra goal away for your goal differential purposes. But let's get out of here, buddy.
I will have a walk off next week, so let's just all be prepared.
Ooh, look at
this whole Tua thing coming back. I'm very curious to see how this plays out.
Well,
he's refusing to wear the Guardian cap.
Is he? Well, it's very interesting to see a quarterback wearing that. That'd be interesting. That will change the game.
Yeah, you know what's also interesting? To have six concussions in 3 years.
Ah, great point.
Welcome to the big league. And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
It's a walk-off studio. Brennan, where can we find you?
Oh, I'm at Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. And check out my other podcast, Ex Drinking Buddy. I have guests on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, very funny comedian. He's only been doing comedy for a year, but Paul Saylor, who's a musician by trade and a theater actor, got into comedy, and seeing him put all of his different kind of attributes from being in showbiz for 20 years together to do comedy has been, it's been fun to watch. He's very, very funny. And then next week I will have Vanessa Jackson, writer of Colbert and SNL. So that was a pretty big get. Yeah. No drinking stories in that one really. Cause I was so fascinated by her career trajectory cause she started comedy really late, and just to see her rise was
did you record that in Queens?
Yes, I did.
Look at that.
Yeah. I didn't really get to Queens. A lot of drinking stories. Yeah.
Got to bring her back.
Yeah, well, yeah, she doesn't have a lot of drinking stories. But yeah. Oh, okay. She was accused of stealing Common's $2,500 Burberry scarf, which was an interesting, fun story she told.
Can't wait to hear that. Fulham, I did want to say Fulham, still top 10 at the table. At yeah, number 10.
I looked that up as soon as I saw the loss. I was like, wait. Joe, where can you find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Joe Dorville. Pretty much just politics right now. Pretty much just politics. Now the WNBA season is over, it's pretty much just politics.
Let's go 45-47, baby.
I'll kick you in the teeth.
Did you listen to that episode on Twitter? Yet?
No, not yet. No.
Okay.
I'm so behind on all podcasts. I had to drop some podcasts. I was like, I can't. Tony Kornheiser, I love you, but I gotta let you go. I was like,
man, yeah. The antithesis of the show, got let go.
Mina Kimes, I still listen to Mina, but only the Tuesday episode.
Huge crush on Mina Kimes.
Yeah, I think I did too. I used to have a huge crush on Kate Fagan too.
I used to have a huge crush on Michelle Beadle back when she did Cold Pizza, but now that I see her in real life all the time, I'm kind of like, I'm over it.
Nah, I crush on Michelle. Had a crush on Monica, but I didn't mean
that because she's older
her.
Now. I just meant that because, like, when you see these people in real life, you're kind
of real life. It's real human, so it's like,
You're a person. I feel bad for thinking about you.
Anyways, good thing neither of our girlfriends are ever going to hear this.
What is it?
Etsy.com/shop/headphone Joe. No E in the phone. Don't forget to check out the music under the moniker Headphone Joe. No E in the phone on all digital streaming platforms. Brennan, get us out of here because you got a busy day tomorrow and I got shit to do.
You want to hear something funny? I told Tracy, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with Matt and then hopefully we'll be done with Cheers by 12. It's 2:00 in the morning.
Get us out of here.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Huge shout out to my Jacksonville Jaguars putting it on the Patriots. And
huge shout out to Ellie the Elephant.
Ellie the Elephant.
Liberty's mascot.
Oh, yeah, of course. Duh. I'm a Liberty fan.